I'm an 80s kid, and what I mean by that is that I went through puberty in the 80s, and so that's the time of life for me when I had that super cocktail of naturally occurring chemicals racing through my brain and body, making everything weird and really memorable. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I'm also a lifelong sci-fi geek. I blame that on my dad, who, when I was in elementary school, let me join him in watching reruns of the original Star Trek series. I was instantly hooked on the idea of space as the final frontier. But since I'm both an 80s kid and a sci-fi geek, my view of technology is irreversibly influenced by movies like, say, The Terminator. I will always believe that Skynet will actually be the death of us. So fully developed AI, that's just a dumb idea in my mind. It's on the same level as those people in horror flicks who decide to hide in creepy houses. Dumb. But that's another subject. My fear of AI is probably just another example of what puberty does to your brain. But my adult brain reminds me that while computers are getting smarter, we are still an impossibly long ways from Terminator-style intelligence. In other words, computers are smart, but they're not self-aware smart. Self-awareness is a really peculiar trait. Developmental psychologists say that babies don't have what we would think of as self-awareness until somewhere around 18 months. They figure this out using the mirror test. When babies see themselves in a mirror, are they fully aware that they're looking at a reflection of themselves? Or do they, like my dog, focus on that other being in front of them? It's a simple but effective test. Chimpanzees and other apes can pass the mirror test, and apparently so can dolphins, elephants, and a few more animals. But most animals flunk the mirror test. So our self-awareness starts developing around 18 months and then continues. Of course, that's still in the beginning stages of the journey, which is really long and really complicated. Alongside this brand new self-awareness, developmental psychologists say that preschool children are predominantly egocentric. And what that means is that they don't yet have the ability, the mental ability, to take another person's point of view. But as any parent knows, it won't be too long before those initial stages of self-awareness will turn into the curse of adolescence. It's an almost universally miserable time for kids when self-awareness can be crippling. Psychologist David Elkind says that the child is egocentric in the sense that he's unable to take another person's point of view. The adolescent, on the other hand, takes the other person's point of view to an extreme degree. In this adolescent version of egocentrism, kids can be so hyper-aware that they just always assume that everyone is watching them and judging them every waking minute of the day. Just think back to your own days as an awkward 13-year-old. Yeah, it's like that. But that begs the question, why is this true? I mean, what's the point of self-awareness if it just makes you feel miserable and paranoid and overly self-conscious? Thankfully, adolescent egocentrism is just a phase for most of us, and we eventually figure out that some of those extreme positions aren't accurate or helpful. Sure, we still battle with some egocentric ways of thinking, but we learn to navigate those things as we mature, and without the crippling effects of egocentrism, self-awareness becomes one of the primary tools we have to help us with self-regulation, which, by now, you probably already learned is a pretty big deal for adulting. Just think about it. How many millions of times have you disappointed yourself over your lack of ability to better regulate your thoughts or your feelings or your words or your actions? Yeah, me too. In some classic experiments, psychologists found that when people were placed in front of a mirror or told that their actions were being filmed, it consistently changed their behavior. Whenever people focused on themselves, they seemed to compare what they saw with some sort of idea of what they thought they should be like. In other words, self-awareness always seems to involve comparing myself to these ideas of what I might or should or could be. Practically speaking, if I could see myself in a mirror, I would be much more likely to follow my own internal values instead of following someone else's lead. So this link between self-awareness and self-control, it's really critical. If you need a real-world example, just think about the last time you were around someone who had had too much to drink. Research has demonstrated repeatedly that one of the chief effects of drinking alcohol is an increasingly reduced ability of drinkers to monitor their own behavior. As drinkers' self-awareness declines, they lose self-control. And that's when the seeds of regret are sown. Think of it sort of like a cup. The height of the cup would be your level of self-awareness. The contents of the cup would be your level of self-control. If the self-awareness cup isn't very deep, it won't be able to hold as much self-control. So, self-awareness is good, but only if the standards we measure ourselves against are also good. That's why I love what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. James says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face in a mirror, for he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does." Earlier, I asked the question, how many millions of times have you disappointed yourself over your lack of ability to better regulate your thoughts, or your feelings, or your words, or your actions? The truth is, we all stumble, but having a mirror like the Word of God, that's invaluable. We use it to look honestly at ourselves, to reflect on what we see, to compare that reflection to the standards written in the Bible, and then make a plan and take action to correct what we saw was wrong. If you make this a daily habit, I have complete confidence that you will continue to get better and better and better at sticking the landing.